open up. We have been looking at, I'll just give us a quick review here. We've been studying Bible doctrines, and we've been looking at I guess a survey, you could call it, in Bible doctrine. Just learning the basics of the Bible is what it is, and we've looked at a lot of different topics, but now we've been on the devil, and we've learned about, you know, who he is, his future, how do you defeat the devil, and then the origin of demons, the activity of demons, and then now, this week, we're on forms of demonic practice, and I touched on some of this a couple weeks back. One of the greatest places, I think probably the most prevalent place that the devil is at work, is going to be within religion. He works in religion because if you can corrupt Bible truth, then you can harm a great number of people. And let me put it like this. I heard this years ago, but the most effective lie is a lie that's closest to the truth. The most effective lie is a lie that's closest to the truth, because it still harms people, but it sounds like the truth. And this is what, you know, messes people up, is they'll follow a lie. So this is where he's at work. I believe the most is not necessarily in the bars and on the streets with people like that. And not to say that he's not at work there, but I believe his most effective work is done within religion and things that call themselves churches or spiritual or however you want to word it. That's where he's the most at work. I mean, you can see if you've ever read through the New Testament, there is a lot of false doctrine. And doctrine just means teaching. There was a lot of false teaching coming into the churches to corrupt them. And when you corrupt truth, when you corrupt doctrine, then that's when you can really harm people, because, you know, where do we see God's love displayed the greatest for mankind? Where is his love displayed the greatest for mankind? On the cross, right? And what does the cross represent? The cross represents our salvation, our means of salvation. It's all that Jesus did for us in order to have our sins forgiven, to be with God, to have fellowship with God. That's that reconciliation. He wants to bring us back together with the Lord, because our sins have separated us from him. So he paid our penalty on the cross so we could have our sins forgiven. He did that. So then if the devil wants to come in and harm people the most, or harm God really the most, how would he go about doing that? And it's going to be through corrupting doctrine, because it's through right doctrine or right teaching or truth that people get saved. There's only, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the only way. That means every religion out there, I don't care what it is, what it calls itself, and I'll get more specific with this, but any religion that excludes Jesus, that Jesus is not the way to the Father, is false. It's corrupt. And therefore, you can know that the devil is at the heart of that. Because this is where he works. He works within idolatry, and that's what it is. It's an idol. It's a false god. Okay, that is not of God, because Jesus is the only way. And I'll say further, it has to be the Bible way. So I started this off by talking about, where did God show his love for us? It's in the cross. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's through him. Then it has to be God's way that we receive this salvation, this forgiveness. And we don't get to change it. We don't get to alter it. His forgiveness is received through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. I turn from my way and I turn to the Lord, and I receive the gift, the salvation, the forgiveness that he's offering me. That's it. It's that simple. That's what God did for us, and he's offering us a gift. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, none of you would think that if your boss came to you and gave you your paycheck at the end of, you know, your pay period, the end of the week, the end of the 2 weeks, whatever it was, if your boss came to you and gave you your paycheck and he said, here's a gift for you, you would be thinking, that is not a gift. What are you talking about? There's no way that's a gift. I worked all week for that, or I worked the last 2 weeks for that. That's not a gift. I earned that. What are you talking about, a gift? This is no gift. That's not at all a gift, because you worked for it. Well, salvation is a gift. It's the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He purchased it. And that's how a gift works. Someone else purchases it. Someone else does the work to get it. And they offer it to somebody else freely. And there's only two things that you can do with a gift. Only two things. One is you can receive the gift. Or two, you can reject the gift. Anytime a gift's offered, that's the options before you. You can either receive the gift or reject the gift. But that's how it works. And that's what salvation is. It's either I receive it freely or I reject it outright. And this is what God is offering to us. He's saying, this is the way of salvation. It's through me. So you have to go to Jesus Christ and receive his death, burial, and resurrection as full payment for your sin in order to have your sins forgiven. Anything outside of that is no salvation. It's false. And this is where the devil works. He's going to corrupt it, and he's going to make it something outside of it being through Jesus Christ and him alone. And what do I mean by that? I said he works in religion. Well, because there's so how many things out there call themselves Christianity, call themselves Christian, but they all have a different little nuance or a different way to earn salvation, to get salvation. Well, yeah, it's Jesus did this, but you have to do this. You have to do this, or you have to do this in order to get that gift. And they just add something to it. I like this too. There's two religions in the world, do and done. Okay. One religion, you can lump everything outside of Christianity in that. It says you have to do this to please God, to make God happy. The other one is it's done. Jesus Christ did it all. Those are the two religions in the world, do and done. And I don't care what you call yourself. If someone's an atheist, an agnostic, a Muslim or whatever it is, a Hindu, doesn't matter. Anything outside of salvation through Jesus Christ and him alone is you have to do something to please God or to benefit yourself in the next life, whatever they're going to call it. It's I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it my way, basically. Or you can look to what God did and it's already done. But do you realize to recognize your need for that, you have to humble yourself? To recognize your need for salvation, for God's way, you have to humble yourself and say, oh, then it's not about anything I do. That kills pride right there. Pride's out the window. If you get saved, there can't be any pride. You have to humble yourself and say, I need that gift that you're offering. So Satan comes in and he's going to corrupt that. And he's going to say, look, you know, Jesus did that, but you need to get baptized. Or you need to do these good works. You need to go, you have to go tell people about Jesus. And you have to keep doing that all the way until the end. Or you have to confess every sin you've ever committed and any sins that you haven't confessed before you die, you're going to have to pay for those sins. Well, then he didn't pay for the sins of the whole world. Then he wasn't able to take care of it. Then it is up to me. But the amazing thing about that is in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if I can get to heaven based on something that I've done, then I'm going to be up there and I'm not going to be praising the Lord and what he did for me. I'm going to be praising myself. And I'm going to be telling everybody else, like, yeah, Jesus did some of it, but guess what I did? Here's what I did. Here's the part I had in getting myself here. But the Bible says there's not going to be any boasting up there. There's just going to be praising the Lord. There will be no boasting or bragging that I did this to get here, because there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation, to merit it. Matter of fact, you don't deserve it. You're undeserving of it. What you are deserving of is the lake of fire. You are deserving of hell. And so Satan's going to come in and he's going to corrupt this, and he's going to teach people. It's going to be close to the truth. It's going to use a lot of the words from the Bible. You know, another popular thing to do in with this idolatry, this corruption of truth, is they're going to make Jesus out to be, he's the greatest man that ever lived. But he's not God. You know, Jesus himself said, I and the Father are one. Well, nobody I know argues that the Father is God. Everyone, you know, believes that the Father is God. Well, if Jesus and the Father are one, then guess what? Jesus is God. There's another place in the Bible where you have God the Father calling the Son God. That's interesting. If Jesus isn't God, why would he do that? That's found in Hebrews chapter 1. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Huh. Well, if you ever was God, you still is God. Because God's eternal. You can't stop being God. And if you want to know who the Word is, who that's speaking about in John chapter 1, verse 3, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm sorry, that's John chapter 1, verse 1. You then go down to John chapter 1 and verse 14, and it tells us who the Word was. And the Word dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So it tells us exactly who the Word is. It's Jesus Christ, and the Word is God. So these are ways that Satan comes in and tries to corrupt religion, truth, basically. Truth, salvation. And that's the end game with all religion out there, is to corrupt salvation. It's to keep people from coming into fellowship with God. Because see, each of us is estranged from God. The Bible says we come out of the womb telling lies. Okay? We are sinners by nature. That's what we are. That's what you are. That's what I am. We're sinners by nature. So our sin has separated us from God. It goes on to say further that we are the enemies of God. You can see that in Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8, that we are the enemies of God. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow right there. You talk to a lot of people and everybody's like, we're all children of God. You know, when I first found that out after I got saved like 20 years ago. And after I found that out, that we are not all the children of God, because I thought that my whole life, that, well, we're all the children of God. And then I found out we weren't. You know, I was mad when I found that out. I don't know why, but I was mad when I found out. I was like, what? You mean the whole time I wasn't your child? No, I wasn't. See, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You have to receive Him. You have to receive Him to be His child. So before that, you're not His child. And when I found that out, I was not happy. I don't know why. I remember being mad about it. But it's the truth. It's the truth. So what are we before we receive Him? You're His creation. He created us. And He loves you. This is why He sent His Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So He did these things for us. He loves us, but we're only His creation. He wants us to be His children. But that's something we have to receive Him. That's talking about that gift again. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it's only through Jesus Christ. So you have to receive Him. You have to receive the gift. Again, I said, remember, there's two things you can do with a gift. Either receive it or reject it. That's all you can do with a gift. And Satan wants to come in and corrupt that, to pervert it, even if he can just put a slight twist to it. He's patient. He'll wait a generation too. He'll just put the things in place to start to corrupt it, to start to get it off, of course. I love this idea, if you'll picture with me. All right, let's say that there's a point right here, and it's going to go this way for eternity. There's going to be a line drawn from this point all the way for eternity, and that's truth. Okay? And by the way, with the world in which we live in today, when you hear people say, well, this is my truth, and that's your truth, and this is their truth. No, there is no their truth, my truth, your truth. There's only truth, period. And we have to stand on that. I mean, hey, if you believe we all have our own truth, then fly up 15,000 feet in an airplane and just jump without a parachute, and let's see if your truth is going to get you to land. You know, no, there's only truth. It doesn't matter if you think it. How many of you ever tried when you were usually little boys? How many of you ever tried to put a cape on when you were a little boy and jump off the roof? Anybody ever tried that? You ever try and fly? No one in here? Did you ever think about it? No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. You didn't try it. That was forced on you. Anybody ever think about doing that? Okay, maybe jumping off your bed or something, thinking you can fly. What, reality hit real quick, didn't it? You're like, man, I couldn't fly. I just couldn't do it. Anybody ever try to walk on water? You know, you get to the edge of a swimming pool and you go running and you're like, and you just fall in, right? You ever try that? You're like, you can't walk on water. Reality hits real quick, right? See, it doesn't matter. When I was a little kid, I tried to fly. I thought, I'm like, I'm gonna try it like Superman. And guess what? I just jumped and landed. I didn't make it very far. It didn't work out. It didn't happen, even though I thought I could. See, my truth didn't matter to truth. There's only truth. Okay, there's only truth. I don't even know how I got off on all of that other than to say that there's only truth. And I've noticed as I've gotten older that I lose track of where I was. So pray for me. Satan wants to discourage us. He wants to corrupt salvation, and he wants to push us away from truth. And we have truth going in a straight line. And Satan is content to just say, I'm just going to kick it just a quarter of a degree off, and it's going to go in a straight line forever as well. Just a quarter of a degree. I mean, hardly anything. At first, you're not even going to notice it. These are both just going to be almost going side by side. But as you get farther and farther away from the starting point, truth, this line's going to stay truth. But as this one over here that was kicked off just a bit gets farther and farther away from the starting point, it's going to end up getting farther and farther and farther away, and you're going to start to see a real difference. And then after a while, it's going to be so far away, they're going to just be like this, and then like this, and then farther than I can reach as those lines go on. And truth doesn't care. And a lot of people don't like this, but truth does not care about your feelings. Okay, but it just gets farther and farther away. And I'm saying some of this today because as Christians, as God's people, we have got to understand that what is happening in America and the world, but we live in America, so that's why I mention that all the time with the transgender movement and people thinking that they're born a woman, but they think they're a man, or they're born a man, but they think they're a woman, or they're born a man or a woman, and they don't know what they are, is nonsense. And we can't capitulate to that. We can't give in to that. We can't encourage somebody in their delusion. Like if your little kid came to you and said, hey, dad, guess what? I'm Superman and I can fly. And you live on the fourth story of an apartment building. And he's like, I'm going to prove it to you, dad. Let's go out to the balcony. You're going to be like, all right, son, go for it. You're not going to encourage him in that foolish delusion, are you? Because it's harmful to him. You'd say, no way. Sorry, son, I hate to tell you this. Hate to break the bad news to you. But I saw your mother give birth to you. You did not crash on this planet. You're not Superman. You're not. Let's prove it. You can jump from somewhere safe. Okay, you can't fly. You would stop the delusion. And this is what we have to do with this. It is nonsense that's going on today. It is utter nonsense. It is a mental illness that we're encouraging people in. Do you know, I think it was in the 1960s when, oh man, who is it that does the medical? I think the AMA, maybe American Medical Association, but they put out that journal. They used to classify homosexuality as a mental disorder until the gay agenda pressured them and pushed them to take it out. Because it is a mental disorder. There's something wrong. It's not right. It's not natural. Okay? By the way, something is not right with you if you go around murdering people. Okay? If you go around stealing things all the time, something is not right with you. Either yourself, you have something wrong mentally, you're not thinking right, to think that you could take something that belongs to somebody else. But these aren't like diseases or anything. It's called sin. And we have to recognize it as that and understand that truth is truth. And by the way, here's the final arbiter on what truth is. Okay, this is what truth is. It's based on this right here. Nothing else. Again, our feelings don't matter when it comes to truth. Now, it's not to say God doesn't care about our feelings. But if my feelings are saying, well, I don't agree with that, it doesn't matter. That's when it doesn't matter. Your opinion really doesn't count because it's just that and it's wrong. If you're not in agreement with God, guess what? You are wrong. Period. So we have to, as God's people, as those that profess to believe the Bible, we have to stand boldly on the Word of God and say, this is truth, and it doesn't matter what this world thinks. And we also have to be willing to say, it doesn't matter what it's going to cost me to stand for truth in this world, because as the way things are going, it's going to cost Christians something. It sure looks that way. And there's been, people have lost their jobs over taking stands for Christianity, and not even standing for Christianity, just standing for normalcy and common sense. People have lost their jobs with the cancel culture. because they just state what's obvious to everybody else, that no, that's not a woman, that's actually a man. And she shouldn't be, he shouldn't be able to compete in women's sports, in women's swimming, or women's wrestling, or women's right, or fighting. There's no comparison. There's absolutely no comparison whatsoever. And it shouldn't be allowed. And they've lost their jobs for it. They've been canceled. They've been fired. I mean, all sorts of things. And if you ever just watch these people that are with the woke culture and they want to be accepting of every weird, crazy thing out there, they stumble all over themselves not to offend somebody. Just watch some of these interviews if you ever get a chance. And they're like stumbling on themselves not to offend somebody, not to offend a black person or a gay person or a transgender person or somebody that might be or someone that's pro-abortion. Now, they don't mind offending somebody that's pro-life, a Christian, somebody that stands for the traditional family. They don't mind offending you. You're some nut job weirdo. But they will fall all over themselves. It's funny to watch. It's sad to watch. This is where our nation's at, but this is what's happening. And we have to be willing to stand for truth, because truth doesn't change just because we don't accept it. Okay, it doesn't change. It's insane to me to think that we actually have professing, thinking people that believe a man can give birth to a child. Like, I never thought in my life that we would be this dumb, that as a society we would be this foolish, that I never thought that that would be possible. But here it is. There it is. It's right in front of us. Because the devil will corrupt truth. He doesn't care how he does it. My wife used to work in the restaurant industry. She was a server. And if you're not familiar, in most restaurants, there is a lot of homosexual people that work as servers in restaurants. It's not, I can't say every restaurant, but the restaurants I've worked in, they're prevalent. They're there. And they have a conception, whether true or not, whether they've seen anything or not, so much of our reality today is, and maybe it's always been this way, but you know, so much of our reality today is that people, whatever the media tells them is what they believe. Okay? And what she has mentioned to me is that most of them think that Christians hate them. Ouch. What an indictment on us. Right? And someone could be sitting in here that's maybe pro-LGBTQ and be like, it's because of the things you're saying right now why Christians think, or why gay people think that Christians hate them. And I personally don't believe I said anything hateful, but to just disagree with people nowadays is hateful. But anyway, back to that. They got the impression somewhere that Christians hate them, and they believe that even though they've never really sat down and spoken with a Christian. They never talked to them. And by the way, my wife was friends with them. They'd laugh together. They'd eat together. They'd work together. They'd do everything they had to do together. They're people. Guess what? They're people that Jesus died for. That if you're in here and you're saved and you've been born again, you've been forgiven through what Jesus Christ did for you, and you've received him as your Savior, even if you haven't, by the way, if you haven't done any of that, but to the saved person that would maybe have a bias towards somebody that's gay or even transgender, God loves that person just as much as he loves you. He shed the same blood for their sins as he did for yours. So maybe we can't change the complete culture of Christianity, of how it is looked at by those outside of us, but we can change the world in which we live, our world right here. We can change our attitudes towards somebody that's different than us. But it's these types of things that the devil will use, that he'll corrupt religion, truth. I like to say truth better than religion, but he's at work within religion, and he'll corrupt it in order to keep people from coming to a relationship, from being reconciled to God. You know, a lot of times what he'll do is he'll use someone's bad experience in a church, because guess what churches have in them? It's this crazy thing. It's got people in them, and people are sinners, and people mess up, and people do wrong. And they'll use a bad experience that they had in church. I've watched, you know, too many to count of the young people that grew up with my children that use things that happened in church that maybe I wouldn't agree with all of it, but they use that as their excuse to run from God, to depart from God. And maybe it's because they never wanted God. There could be a number of reasons for it, but, you know, the devil will use that to keep someone from God, to keep someone from coming to know him. Well, oh, that church is filled with hypocrites. So is Walmart and McDonald's, but you still go there. You know, it's just excuses. People will make excuses for whatever they don't want to be a part of. But he'll use that to keep someone from coming to know the Lord. It's idolatry. Now, another place I wanted to look at, and it shouldn't take me too long, is let's go to Deuteronomy 18, please. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I think we started here a couple weeks ago, and I never got to the main point I wanted to make. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Old Testament. It's known as the Law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18, and we want verse 9. And again, this is Moses giving, you know, his last words to the children of Israel before they take the promised land. He is not going with them because of something that he did in his life that he shouldn't have. But he says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, we're in verse 9, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. And look at this. Here's what he says. Here's the warning that he gives them. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Okay, that's offering them in sacrifice to Moloch, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So God's talking about what we would call witchcraft. This is a form of demonic practice, witchcraft. It's no joke. And here's the thing is that cartoons have made it where it's not a big deal, where it's a playful thing. It's just something to mess around with. It's not a big deal. But witchcraft is very serious, because if you will look at this and if you study the Bible and you look at the things, and even, you know, what witches have professed themselves as they get farther into it, I mean, it comes down to human sacrifice. That's where it ends. That's how bad it gets. And just something else that goes hand in hand with this, and this is the real reason I wanted to get to this, was to talk about drug abuse and its association with witchcraft. And a lot of people don't realize that. And I'll give that to us here in just a second, because of, you know, the prevalence of drugs in this country. And even now with marijuana being legalized in New Mexico and across the nation and various states, it's more and more prevalent. And we need to understand this association with it, that drug abuse or drug use, drugs are a form of witchcraft. And people are they have all kinds of objections already in their mind or coming up right now with what I just said, because this isn't just illegal drugs. This could be prescription drugs and everything. And I'm saying this, and we'll look at it here in just a second, because the Greek word for, you know, sorcery is pharmakia. Guess what word we get from that in English? Pharmacy. Because they're, what are they doing? What do you think of witches doing? They're like, oh, add this, add a, you know, as the cartoons would joke, add a frog leg or something, a newt's eye and all this stuff. What are they doing? They're mixing a potion together. And that stuff is real within witchcraft. I mean, see, Satan has done a good job at masking it, and he makes it a joke, so we laugh at it as it's something silly and funny. When in reality, there's real witches that do that stuff, and they put curses on people, and they have demonic power. They have power from the devil. The devil has power. We looked at that. We studied that. He has real powers. He is the god of this world. It isn't a joke. It is very real, and he uses drugs to open people up to demonic possession. I mean, there's a whole lot that goes into this. I could spend months teaching on this if I delved into it more. I don't want to necessarily. But drug abuse is witchcraft. Let's look at a few other places first before I show us that. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. We saw there in Deuteronomy what God thinks about it. He says, hey, when you come into the land you're coming into, don't learn like to do after the nations around you. That should be a warning to us Christians. Don't learn from lost people around you. Okay, don't do that. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that sacrifices their children. Do you know what that is today? Abortion. That's abortion. That's what's going on right there. Okay? People are offering their children in sacrifice to fulfill their own fleshly lusts. And praise God that Roe v. Wade was overturned. Like, praise God for that. We ought to still be rejoicing over that. Now, it's just been left to the states, which is how it should have always been. And we need to pray that New Mexico will change, because this is the late term abortion capital of the United States right now. And by the way, as you look at abortion, with our abortion laws that we have and what we allow in the United States, within the known world and the civilized world, as we would call it, our abortion laws and what we allow here are right up there with North Korea, a communist country, and China, who has their, you know, is it one child now? I think it's one child law. It's no longer two. I thought it was one. Is it two? Oh, they lifted it up? Okay. It was two, and then it went to one, and then it's back to two. Okay, and do you know what they were doing in China as a result of this? They were doing selective abortions. As soon as they found out that I'm having a girl, no, we want a boy, so we're going to abort it. Oh, women's rights, woo! What happened to those women's rights? What happened to those women's rights? But America, with our abortion laws, we're right up there with those two, you know, just Christ-honoring, godly, wonderful countries, right? No. Do you know they were protesting us in France? They were saying, oh, in France, they were protesting the overturning of Roe v. Wade, saying, you're taking away women's rights, when in France, it's illegal to have an abortion after 14 weeks. But they're protesting us by just turning it to the states. They didn't outlaw abortion, by the way. The overturning of Roe v. Wade did not outlaw abortion. It just left it up to the states. Well, that's a novel idea, by the way. Man, I could go off on so many directions with this. Where our nation's gone frustrates me. I'm not going to, though. Funding for it. The overturning of Roe v. Wade simply turned it back to the states. So every state gets to choose. But we need to pray for New Mexico. That we would, man, our governor, she's not a fool. She's not a fool. You might think, yes, she is. No, she's not, because it was what, last year or the year before that they put in there, they got the jump on this, and they removed that law that we had in New Mexico that would make abortions illegal in New Mexico. It was just like 2 years ago, two legislative sessions ago, they did away with that law. So Roe v. Wade overturned, if that law would have been in effect, abortions would be illegal in New Mexico right now. But I think they saw what was coming. They said, let's get rid of this in case this ever happens. We need a law like that back. People have to see. They have to understand. This means we have to, like, voice our opinions. We don't need to yell at people and be mean to them or anything. But when the conversation comes up, we just need to be willing to talk about it. But with that, you need to be willing to be the lone voice. And you're probably not the lone voice. You're probably not going to be the lone voice, but most people don't want to speak up if they think they're alone. But we have to be willing to say, no, abortion's wrong. That's murder. And isn't that truth? If we believe, and I believe based on the Bible, that life starts at conception. Okay, doesn't matter if someone else believes that. I believe that based on the Bible. Okay, by the way, based on science as well. You know, scientists have admitted it's a new life, it's life. They might not admit it's human life, but it's a new life when that cell starts. But even at that, at 18 days, a heartbeat can be detected. At 18 days, a heartbeat can be detected. So we just have to start saying it's murder. If life starts at conception and someone takes that life, whether it's through the morning after pill or whatever it is, or the first trimester abortion, second trimester, third trimester, partial birth abortion, which is disgusting. I can't believe that's ever even allowed. By the way, if things keep going the way they are, it's going to be, there's people advocating already, or there have been people, and I'm sure they're still advocating it, but that up to 2 years old, you can abort your child. Yeah. So the argument with abortion, I know I'm kind of going off on things, but it fits with what we're talking about because we just read it. The argument with abortion is that, well, you know, at whatever, 12 weeks, the fetus isn't viable. Well, at 2 years, a child's not viable. Leave them on their own. See how long they make it. Leave them on their own and see if they make it. They won't. They need help. So if that's the argument, where do we end it then? I mean, there's some 18-year-olds aren't viable. That's a joke. It's all right to laugh. All right. Not funny? I thought it was. Okay. So if life begins at conception and that life is terminated, then it's murder. And we have to be willing to say it's that. That it's murder. And then on the left, or the anti-life crowd, okay? Pro-abortion, and I use that term on purpose, anti-life, but anyway, they recognize then, well, if you're saying then that it's murder, then should the doctor and even the mother be prosecuted? Well, I don't know if a doctor, like, you know, if you went into the doctor's office and he just started cutting your limbs off and ripping you apart in pieces, would we consider that murder? I think we would still, right? If you went in for just a surgery right now at your age, and you went in there and he just, like, while you're under, he just starts cutting your arms off, and thankfully he at least puts you under, right? The baby doesn't get put under. So a video all of you need to watch is The Silent Scream. The Silent Scream. Watch it. You can find it on YouTube. It's probably like 30 minutes long. You can skip up to the part where they're actually showing an abortion through the ultrasound. And you can see the baby pulling away from the forceps that are grabbing it. And you know it's screaming. That's why they call it the silent scream. You can't hear it as the baby's ripped to pieces. There's another video of a former abortionist. He did over 1,200 abortions in his career, and he describes how it happens, and he tells the different, you know, abortions. And I believe this one he's describing is a D&E. It has to happen within the first trimester by a certain period of time. After that, he said you can't do it. But one of them, he says, you go in and you, he says, you have to be very careful because you can easily tear, you know, the woman's insides apart. So you have to be careful what you're doing. But he shows the forceps that you use, and he says, and you squeeze, and you just, like, start pulling out. And he says, and you have to pull pretty hard to rip the little body apart. He says, and as you're pulling it out, he says, you're setting it, you know, on the tray so you can make sure you get all the parts. And then as he gets to the part about the head, he says, when you get to the head, he says, you'll know with these forceps that your hands are going to be opened all the way because it's going to scissor, you know. And he says, and you know you've gotten it around the baby's head. And then once you get it around the baby's head, you squeeze really hard. He says, and then this, like, yellowish liquid comes out. And he says, that's the brain. So then you pull that out. And he says, and you know, and then you have to make sure it's all there. He says, on a bad day, he says, you'll pull it out, and there'll be these little eyes looking at you. Yeah, I can share the link with you if anybody wants to listen to his testimony of what an abortion's like. But these are the things that we need to talk about. And it is horrible, and it can bring tears to my eyes when I think about how could you even do that? And yet it's not murder, right? It's not murder. Right, because they, right, and that's just physical problems. That doesn't mention the mental problems that they go through, because it is like you women know, like they felt that baby kick and they have an abortion. What does that do to them mentally? I mean, there's no telling. With each person's different, but this is what abortion is, and this is where all of this leads to. This is what it leads to. And so we just have to stand for truth and not allow the devil's lies to deceive us. And let me say, this is why it's so important that we would raise, and most of you in here are young and don't have your own family yet, but likely every one of you in here is going to soon. Within the next decade, probably every one of you in here that's over 15 is probably going to have started a family and have a family going. That's most likely what's going to happen for all of you. And this is why it's so important that you raise your family with these truths, teaching them these and getting them to know God, bringing them so they can hear the gospel, so they can hear about Jesus Christ, what he did for them, but also so they can be grounded in these truths of what is real, what's reality. Even if you don't care anything about God, I don't know how you could be for abortion. If I'm telling you, if we did to puppies what they do to babies, there would be outrage. There would be national outrage. Look at what happened to Michael Vick, who was fighting dogs. Okay, he was raising dogs to fight dogs. And they made him out to be the devil's brother. I'm telling you. They did. They made him out to be the devil's brother. He almost lost his career. He spent, I think, four years in prison for it. And that was for fighting like grown dogs. Like that could, at least the dogs could defend themselves, right? They could at least fight and bite back and stuff. And he was like dragged through the mud by the media and everybody else. PETA was after him. So if we did that to puppies, if we just started a new litter of puppies was born and we just started ripping them to pieces right there as they're coming out, you know, I'd just rip that leg off. Rip that one. Just start tearing them apart. There'd be national outrage, wouldn't there? But yet we can do it to a human because of a woman's right. Do you know your rights end when it's imposed on somebody else's body? And that baby is not the woman's body, by the way. Contrary to what's been put out there, my body, my choice. Yeah, but that baby's not your body. And by the way, I am so pro-life, even if it's incest or rape. The victim doesn't get punished for someone else's crime. Where do we do that? Where do we punish the victim for somebody else's crime? We don't do that. That's how pro-life I am. That's not right. Well, whatever. Is it murder? Then in that case, is it murder? Do we get to murder people in that case? See, these are the things we have to think through. I'm fine standing on that. I don't have a problem standing on that position. I think it's horrible that would happen to somebody. I don't condone it. I think it's awful, and the man that did it needs to be punished. But why are we going to take this person's life because someone else did wrong? That's not right. That's not right. That's how pro-life I am. And I'm okay with that position, even if others don't agree with me. That's my own personal conviction based on the teachings and the truths of the Bible. I've come to that personal conviction. So, this is where it ends up leading to just all sorts of debauchery, but God starts off pretty quick saying it's going to be, you know, I don't want you offering your children in sacrifice to Moloch, to devils. All right, and then let's go to Acts 16 is where I told us to go. I'm not even going to have a chance to finish what I wanted. Acts 16 and verse 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, see there it is, here's the witchcraft, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So she's a fortune teller, basically. She's divining, whatever. It doesn't matter how she does it, whether she's reading tarot cards or throwing bones on the floor, or whatever she's doing, it doesn't matter. This is what she's doing, okay? She had a spirit of divination. She was possessed with a spirit of divination. What was she? She was devil possessed, okay? She had a spirit in her that was possessing her. And she brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." This was in mockery. That's what was going on here. She's following these two preachers that are preaching the Bible, and she's doing it in mockery to them. Not to encourage them, she's mocking them. She's like, "Oh, they're preaching unto us the way of God." That's what's going on here. So we have to put ourselves like in reality, what would really be happening? And if you've ever seen it, when people go out and preach on the streets and witches show up, that's exactly what happens. They start mocking them. They'll say what they're saying, but in a mocking tone. That's what takes place. "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they end up getting beaten, and all sorts of things happen. But praise God, the Philippian jailer gets saved through all of this." Another story that goes through that. But look what happened. Again, man, you can see the devil's fingerprints all over this. We know his fingerprints are money, fornication, and blood. And here we see, what was the motivating factor right here? Money. It was money. They said, "Oh, our gain is gone." When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they said, "Now we need to do something about this." Okay, so this is witchcraft. Let's look at chapter 19 and verse 13. Chapter 19, verse 13. Says, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.' And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priest, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?' And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together." Now look at this. You're about to see the effects of repentance. This is the fruit of repentance we're about to read right here. So these former people that practiced all of this, that followed all of this, they get saved. It says in verse 18, "Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds." Okay, because of what happened. Now look at this. "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together." Who? Of those that believe. They bring all this witchcraft stuff that they had. They bring it. They brought their books together. And what did they do? "They burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." By the way, that's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money, the value of which they got rid of. Notice they didn't sell it. They could have done that. "Well, I'm not going to do this anymore, so I'm going to sell it." It's not what they did. They destroyed it. They burned it. That's a fruit of repentance right there. This is what repentance looks like. When repentance takes place, when a person turns from their way to God, this is the fruit of it. Okay? This is the evidence of their salvation right there. Now, let's go to... That's all we're going to look at right there as far as that. So, forms of demonic practice, you can see the spirit of divination, everything that was going on right there. This devil jumped on them when exorcism, when witchcraft is involved, this evil spirit. Okay, and by the way, what's associated with witchcraft? An evil spirit, a spirit of divination, a devil. Okay, these demons are associated with witchcraft. They're right there, intimately connected to it. Now let's get to the drug abuse part. Go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. We're going to actually pick up in verse 19. It says, now, I'll wait till we're all there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I'll make sure everybody's there. Galatians 5, 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." So the works of the flesh. By the way, if you're new to the Bible, okay, You've got the spirit and the flesh. Okay, verse 17 says, or verse 16 even, this I say, then walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the flesh, clearly in context, is a bad thing. Okay, our flesh is what we are just naturally. It's just the things that we desire that 9 times out of 10, we desire the wrong things. Okay, that's just how it is. It's probably more than 9 times out of 10. It's probably 999 times out of 1,000. Our flesh desires the wrong things. Now, not everything your flesh desires is bad, because, you know, God has put things in there that your flesh would desire. Food, right? Well, we need food to live. But, you know, when you start, you know, tipping the scales, then, okay, maybe your flesh is, yes, you need food to live, but do you need that much food? So our flesh can take over and make things bad. So our flesh typically is bad. In this context, obviously, it's bad. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So they're fighting one another, basically, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So if you're saved, you've got the spirit of God working in you, and you've got your flesh, and they're contrary. They're fighting each other. Okay, they're going against each other. They're battling it out so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now look at this. Now the works of the flesh. So this is what we're talking about when we talk about the flesh. These are the works of the flesh. This is how it's manifested in our lives, all of us. Okay, even if you get saved, you still have the flesh. It doesn't go away, okay, until you either die or when the Lord comes back. Okay, that's when we don't have to fight the flesh anymore. But until then, we all have this flesh, saved people and lost people, okay? Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, or they're made known, which are these. So thankfully, God's going to tell us what the works of the flesh are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. By the way, all of those are dealing with sexual sins. Idolatry, look, there it is. And now here's this in verse 20, witchcraft. That's the Greek word pharmakia, okay? Where we get pharmacy from, all right? Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we see that this work of the flesh, this witchcraft, is pharmakia, pharmacy, drug abuse, drug use. Okay, and people would say, well, then what about, like, we can't take painkillers? No, the Bible gives reasons for that. You can read about it in Proverbs 23, I believe, is where it's at. God understands that, and there's certain instances he says you can use these things in instances like this. By the way, these are reasons why God did put these things here. But look, here's an example. Okay, we look at, like, a barley, right? It's wheat. You can make bread and stuff out of it. But here's what do men do? Well, they pervert it, they corrupt it, and they make it something bad. Okay, they turn it into something bad. So God put something here for us. He says, it's a purpose for us. And by the way, we still have to understand that the fall came in, and there was consequences of the fall. Okay, we have to get that and understand that. But God has put many things here for our good, but men find a way to pervert them. I mean, like, look, there's all these chemicals that are out there that, you know, God made the chemicals, you know, the periodic table of elements and all this stuff. And yet through that, you can make meth. Doesn't mean God made meth, you know, but men pervert and corrupt things. So, yes, God does. There is a use for drugs as far as, like, pain medicine, things like that. But we know the world we live in, it has gone crazy. I mean, doctors give out pills like nothing. I mean, it is ridiculous how they do it. Like, can you figure out what's wrong with me instead of just covering symptoms? Like, I go to the doctor, I'm like, please help me figure out what's wrong. I don't want to just patch this thing up. I don't want to Band-Aid, you know, my bleeding main artery, okay? I want you to stop it from bleeding. I want you to figure out the source of the problem, help me fix that. That's what I want. I don't want you to just patch it with drugs. Well, take this. This will help that. And then I'm coming back a week later. Well, I have this side effect now. Well, take this one for that. And then next thing you know, you're on 5 different pills because, well, these 4 help with the side effects from the one in front of it. And this one, the first one you're taking, actually helps with cover up the symptom for what's wrong. And you understand what I'm saying, all this stuff. And even people with, well, I have anxiety. Oh, well, here then, let me give you some Valiums, or let me give you some Ritalin or something. Let me just dope you up with all these things. And you can't even think straight. We've had family members that were having anxiety and they turned into zombies. Like they had no feeling, none. And I mean, you'd even look at them and they would just be like, and I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. And this type of drugs, not where it's an actual legit medical reason. And by the way, we're in a society that wants things just so fast. Just, I don't want to actually have to deny my flesh. So just give me a pill to fix it. Instead of me having to actually fix something in my life or get my anger under control, and that's why I'm on these pills or whatever it is, or get my anxiety under control and stop worrying about everything and start trusting God. I don't want to have to do that, so just give me a pill to fix it. And people don't want to try. And I'm not saying it's always going to be easy. And I'm not saying there aren't some cases where people actually do have a chemical imbalance or whatever and they do need something. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. But I think if we're all honest with ourselves, we know that's not the reality of where most people are at. It's like, just give me a pill. Just give me a pill. I got family members that are like, I'd just rather take a pill. Just rather take a pill than deal with whatever the underlying issue actually is. So this type of drug abuse that we see, it opens us up to, it opens anyone up to demonic possession. And if you believe the Bible, then you believe that's very real. I believe that a lot of these people that are labeled schizophrenic or whatever, multiple personalities, no, they're devil-possessed. They're devil-possessed. That's what I believe it is. You know, I had my ACL replaced 2 years ago, like in July. So it was 2 years ago this month. And they gave me some painkillers. I don't even remember what they were, but just coming out of the, you know, the surgery, they had me on, you know, whatever they give you, the anesthesia, and then the pain meds through the IV after that. And then they gave me some pills, and I don't know what they were. And I took them for, what, like 2 days afterwards? 2 days afterwards, but for like a week. Like, man, it messed me up so much. I was like having the strangest dreams. And by the way, you can ask my wife, but I almost never remember my dreams. Like, it's like once or twice a year I'll remember a dream that I have. And even then, it's only a portion of it. But then I was like remembering all my dreams. They were just crazy, weird dreams. I was waking up. I was like having just the most crazy anxiety. I'd be, because I was stuck in, I couldn't even be in our bed because I had to stay sitting up. And you know, I could lay down partially. And so I was in the recliner. So I was in that spot for like just, you know, 2-3 days. I get up to go to the bathroom, really, but mostly I'm just laying there, and I was sleeping a lot. And after 2 days, I was like, I don't want to take these anymore. I just stopped taking them. I was like, I'll just deal with the pain. I'll just take ibuprofen or something. I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I stopped taking them, but still for like a week afterwards, I wouldn't fall asleep till like 4-5 in the morning. And I would just be laying there, and I could still just get that feeling. And I would just be like this, and it was like, oh, just something was coming over me, and I would just be there, just, oh, I could just feel it, just like, oh, inside of me, just driving me crazy. And that's how I would be. I would just be like that, and I would just get up, and I would just be like, I don't even know what it was. It wasn't normal. It wasn't normal. It was because of these drugs were messing with my mind. And that's just a small sample, just a small little thing that I actually, you know, I suppose all of us could go through any surgery without any pain medicine. I mean, I know in wartime they do like emergency surgeries, and if they don't have anything, it's just going to happen. But like, obviously none of us want to do that. So we take things, and it was just for a, you know, to me is a major surgery, but really an ACL, they do it all the time. It wasn't that major, and I recovered pretty quickly. I was able to walk real fast afterwards. The doctor did a great job. And it wasn't that major of a surgery, but just through that little bit, it messed with me that much. Those drugs did that. And to almost where I was like, I feel like I was borderline hallucinating when I was like sleeping, that like things were just so just, I don't even remember the dreams now, but I remember they were so weird and it was so strange to me. And I would just like wake up and not know, like, was that real or what happened? And it was just so weird. And you can see how that can open you up to demonic possession. And that's what so many people do when they get into the drug culture. This is why like acid and things like that, because it messes with your mind. And it just messes you up so that you open yourselves up to these things. And people, when they get into witchcraft and seances and things like that, they will take drugs for that specific reason. I want to open my mind. I want to You know, let the spirits speak to me. And I have no doubt if people say, well, you know, will the spirits speak to me? I'm like, I bet they do. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I think someone did tell you. A lot of times people say, well, God told me. I'm like, well, I don't think it was God, but I believe something told you. Because God speaking to you is going to line up. It's going to come from here. Okay, this is where God's at right here. It's going to come from here. Okay, this is where God's going to speak to us through his word right here. So I just wanted to warn us about that with the culture that we live in and how prevalent it is and how encouraged people are to do really any and every type of drug. I know I went a little long with all of that, but I hope that was beneficial to us.